Matthew chapter 25 and verse 10, verse 10 is our text for this evening. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. That'll be our subject tonight, shut in or shut out. The story about this marriage feast and the 10 virgins may seem strange to us, but it would have been easily understood by the people to whom the Lord Jesus spoke. His hearers would have known that on a set day, the bridegroom would make his way to the home of his bride. He would make his way there accompanied by his friends and companions. And waiting outside the house of the bride would be her friends and her companions. As the bridegroom would make his way to the bride's house, he would have one of his servants go ahead of him, and he would announce along the way that the bridegroom was coming. Upon hearing the announcement, the bride's friends would then go out to meet him, and they would accompany him back to the bride's house, and they would go into the house with the bridegroom and there meet with him at the marriage feast. Once all the guests were gathered inside the house of the bride, the door was then shut, and no one, no matter who they were, would be permitted to enter in. The door was shut, and that was it. It should be pointed out also that such weddings took place not during the day, as we would have, there's the tradition here, but these weddings took place at night. And also, no one was aware of the exact time of the bridegroom's arrival. So all the companions of the bride, obviously, would be waiting in anticipation, with great anticipation, waiting to hear that announcement. The bridegroom cometh. Now when we look at the parable, we can see that the bridegroom in the parable is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And the 10 virgins that are mentioned here represent those who make up the visible church of the Lord Jesus. The visible church as opposed to the invisible. When we speak about the visible church, we speak about the church that is made up of those who profess to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. We see them as those who profess to know the Lord. The invisible church is made up of those who are genuinely saved by the grace of God. We know, of course, that there are many false professors in this world. There are those who profess to know the Lord, but they do not have possession. They do not possess the Lord. All they have is an empty profession. They may be partakers of the visible church, but they most certainly are not part of the invisible church. church that is made up of those who are redeemed, and redeemed by precious blood. And we have a picture of the visible church here before us in the 10 virgins. There were 5 of those who were ready and prepared for the coming of the bridegroom. The other 5 were not ready. Oh, by all appearances they were ready. But when the bridegroom came, the truth was revealed about them. And lo and behold, we discover that out of the 10, 5 of them were not ready to meet the bridegroom. And so it is when our bridegroom cometh, there will be those who will most definitely be ready and prepared for his coming. But at the same time, there will be those who may have professed all along that they knew the Lord and they were ready for his coming, but when he comes they will be found out, and it will be discovered that they were not ready for the bridegroom's coming at all. And those who are ready to meet the Lord will be shut in. Those who are not ready to meet the Lord at his coming will be shut out. And when the door is shut, when the door of God's grace is closed, all who are without, no matter who they are, no matter what they say, no matter what they profess, no matter what they have done, that door will not be opened. Shut in. Or shut out. And that is the theme of this parable. The Lord says in verse 13, "Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." And the Lord is saying, you need to be alert, saying to his hearers, you need to be alert, you need to be watchful, you need to make sure you're ready for the Lord's coming, because you don't know the hour and you don't know the day of his coming. Therefore, you better be ready. You better be ready when he comes. And so let us then consider this parable of the Lord. First of all, we notice here regarding the 10 virgins, they're waiting for the bridegroom coming. Look at the first verse. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. Now we see from the opening verse and the words of the Lord Jesus that each of the 10 virgins anticipated the arrival of the bridegroom. It wasn't a matter of the 5 foolish virgins saying, "Oh, the bridegroom's not coming." No. They, along with the 5 wise virgins, anticipated the bridegroom coming. They believed he was coming. They were sure he was coming. Isn't that what it says? They took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And so it is with the Lord Jesus. The Lord Jesus will surely come. There is no doubt about the fact that the Lord Jesus, the bridegroom, is coming again. The Lord himself has told us and has made it very clear. Look at the previous chapter, Matthew 24 and verse 27. "For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be? So the Lord Jesus is coming again. Look at verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now there's no doubt about it. The Lord is coming. And surely every one of us in this meeting tonight believe that. Saved and unsaved alike, you believe the Lord's coming. The Lord Jesus has told us, just like the 10 virgins, they all believed the bridegroom was coming. They all anticipated his arrival. And if the Lord has given us his word on it, then we can believe that. We can stand on his word. What did he say there in Matthew 24, verse 35? He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. You can rest assured the Lord's word is true. You can stand upon it. And you can be sure what the Lord said is true. He's coming again. You have the Lord's word on it. You also have the word of angels. Angels know the Lord's coming again. Angels know that the bridegroom is coming. For we read in Acts 1 and verse 11, we're told about two men stood by the disciples in white apparel when the Lord ascended to heaven, verse 11, Acts 1, verse 11, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come. He's coming again. Shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Now there cannot be any doubt about it. Heaven knows. The Lord Jesus says he's coming. The angels tell us he's coming. You look at the writings of the apostles. They all speak of the Lord's coming. Particularly look at Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. He ends each chapter with reference to the Lord's coming. Now we must believe that. There can be no doubt about the bridegroom and his coming. Now the question is, how many in this meeting tonight are ready? How many are prepared for the Lord's coming? We find in this group of virgins only five of them were ready. Notice also that his coming will be sudden. There is nothing in the scriptures to suggest that the Lord will come silently or that the Lord will come secretly. But the Lord most certainly will come suddenly. Is not the gist of the parable? Isn't that what the Lord said in his own comment on the parable? He said, watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour. The emphasis is upon the suddenness of his coming. There's nothing about him coming silently or secretly, and coming in a way that nobody will know about it except his people. that one day the Lord will come and all the believers will be taken out of the way and nobody will know about it. Now, that's not the teaching of Scripture. You look at the parable, and there's nothing silent about the parable or the bridegroom's coming in the parable either. Is there anything secretive? Because one will go ahead of the bridal party and say, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Look again at chapter 24 of Matthew. What does it say again in verse 29? Immediately after the tribulation of those days, mark the word, immediately after the tribulation, shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Well, I think everybody will see that. I think everyone will know that is happening. There's nothing secret about that. There's nothing silent about that. What? The sun shall be darkened, the moon shall not give her light, the stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see. Nothing secret about that. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. No, I'm silent about that. A great sound of the trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now, since the Lord is coming, and we know that for sure, the Lord has told us, the angels have told us, the apostles have told us, and we know also that he may not be coming silently or secretly, but we know that he's coming suddenly. Then, dear hearer tonight, there needs to be preparation made. We need to make sure then we're ready when the Lord does come. That's the teaching of the parable. Those who were ready and those who were not. That's the teaching of the parable. There's no point reading other things into it. This is what the Lord is teaching. He's teaching his hearers to be sure and be ready when the Lord comes, because, as he has said, we know neither the day nor the hour. Therefore, be ready. And many of us are ready tonight for the Lord's coming. What if the Lord were to come tonight? Say, "Well, I don't believe the Lord will come tonight." Well, what if he comes tomorrow? You might say, "Well, I don't believe the Lord will come tomorrow." What does the Lord Jesus say? The Lord Jesus said, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day." So we can all say, "Well, I don't believe this," or "I don't believe that." The Lord says, you don't know. Know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. But when the announcement is made, will we be ready to go out to meet him? You have the anticipation, and we have the announcement, the cry about the coming of the bridegroom went up because it was The crier's desire, the servant of the bridegroom, it was his desire that all would know that the bridegroom was on his way. And you know, as I thought of this man that went out and said, "The bridegroom cometh," I thought of the things that are happening in this world today. And you know the things that are happening in this world today, do you know what they're saying? "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." That's what they're saying. We know the Lord is on his way. The things that are happening in this world today, it's as if every event is saying, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." Surely the Lord's return is not far away. Go back there to chapter 24. In chapter 24 of Matthew, verse 3. "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" And then the Lord sets out before his disciples the signs of his coming and the end of the world. Verses 4 and 5, verse 11, the Lord says, "It will be a day of deception. Take heed," verse 4, "that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." Verse 11, "And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many." Look around us. We look around us today, and what do we have? Many false prophets, and they're deceiving the people. And it's getting worse and worse and worse. You see what is happening in the churches today, and the things that are taking place in churches today wouldn't have happened in those churches 20 years ago. But they have now men in the pulpit, and they're deceiving the people. It's a day of deception. And that deception, as we look at it, it's as if that deception is saying, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." He's on his way. Because this is a day of deception. The Lord said it would be a day of deception. It will also be a day of disturbances. Look at verse 6. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet." In other words, these things will happen leading up to the Lord's return. But they're happening now in our lifetime. When you think of it, I don't know how many wars are going on in the world today, but there's quite a few. There's not only wars, but there's also the rumors of wars. And again in verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom." Kingdom. So there's a day of deception. It's a day of disturbances. There's nations rising up against nation and kingdom against kingdom. And those things are saying to us, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh." The Lord himself has said that these things will happen leading up to, prior to the Lord's return. Look again. The Lord said it would be a day of disasters. For there in verse 7, "For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places." In different places. And it seems to be happening all the time. These disasters. We've had the tsunami. We've had the earthquakes. We have had the tornadoes happening now at a time of the year when they didn't usually happen. Happening in places where they didn't usually happen. The Lord says these things will happen before I return. And all these things are said, behold, the bridegroom cometh. He's coming. It'll also be a day of derision. Look at verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, speaking to God's people, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations, mark the word, for my name's sake. Because you profess to know me, because you're one of my followers, what will they do? They will afflict you, they will kill you, they hate you for my name's sake. Did we ever live in a day in which the name of Christ is so despised and hated? Why, it's banned. You can hardly mention the name of Christ, mention the name of the Lord Jesus. Certainly in the public place and in the public forum, there's a hatred for Christ. The Lord says, that's in preparation for my arrival. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Be a day of distress. Look at verse 10. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. Now that's happening. In this very day in which we live, it'll also be a day of great depravity and defilement. Look at verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, iniquity shall abound, and my, if ever there was a day in which iniquity abounded, it is this day. I'm going to say listen to the conversation, but you wouldn't want to listen to the conversation of the worldly person. And especially of young people today, the filth that comes out of their mouth. What must their hearts be? What must their minds be like? A day of great defilement and depravity. Now you see the depravity of man today. And the things that men do to their fellow man. It's unbelievable. Yet it's happening on a scale that was never known before. And all these things are saying, behold, the bridegroom cometh. But you know, there's one bright spark in this very depressing picture of those days leading up to the Lord's return. Look at verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world. You see the sovereignty of God in spite of the wickedness of the world, in spite of the devil doing his worst, the gospel will still be preached, and God will still spread the good news of the gospel throughout the whole world. The Lord says, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. In spite of what hell does, in spite of the opposition of hell, I will still build my church. and the gospel will go out into all the world. And when the gospel has reached the four corners of the world, then the Lord will come. And where the gospel is now with regard to the world, we don't know, but the Lord knows. And we rejoice that missionaries are still going out. You know, whenever the Bible speaks about the Lord's return, it says that every eye shall see Him. And even here in this context of the gospel going into all the world, 10, 15, 20 years ago, we might have said, how is that possible? How is it possible? We now have the internet. And you think of sermon audio alone, and it's taking the gospel into all the world. And you look at the download report, and the location, the geographical location of all the places that the gospel is going into, and people are listening to the gospel. We said 20 years ago it was not the end. The end will come. Well, the gospel is now going into all the world. Almost every home has a computer of some description or other, and they can hear the gospel. In the remotest areas to hear the gospel. Isn't it good to know that God's in control, that our God is sovereign, and He's above all, and He's working everything out according to the good pleasure of His will. But the important thing for us now at this present time is, who will be ready for the Lord's coming? Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Who would be ready to go out to meet the Lord? Then you have his arrival. Those who waited for him were not disappointed. For we are told that they went out. They went forth to meet the bridegroom. And at midnight, verse 6, there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. And so the bridegroom did come. Oh, they knew he was coming, they just weren't sure of the hour. And we know the Lord is coming, but we're not sure of the hour. We wait for the Lord's coming. Praise His name, we'll not be disappointed. We will see Him one day. He is coming. As He prepares the way, as promised and as planned, and only those who are prepared will go into the marriage supper of the Lamb. Only those who have made preparation. We sang tonight, when the bridegroom cometh, will your robes be white, pure and white in the blood of the Lamb? Will your soul be ready for the mansions bright and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? That's the only preparation that's any good. Preparation that has been made through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have the waiting for the bridegroom, and then you have the wives and the bridegroom, and is coming. The Lord has said that of the 10, 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. Now we might ask ourselves, why? Why are 5 of them called wise? What was it about them that made them wise, or to be described as wise? Verse 4, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. They were wise. It was dark. The bridegroom didn't come until midnight. They needed lamps and they needed oil in their lamps. They were wise because they had their lamps and they also had the oil. In other words, they had made adequate preparation for the coming of the bridegroom. That is teaching us in a very plain, simple, straightforward way that we are to make adequate preparation for the Lord's coming. Amos, the prophet, was faithful to the Lord when he cried out to Israel and said, "Prepare to meet thy God." Isn't that what the five wise virgins were planning on doing? Isn't that why they prepared? They were going out to meet the bridegroom. That was the wise thing to do, was it not? To make preparation. Is it not a wise thing to do to prepare to meet God? Most certainly it is. That man is wise, that woman is wise who makes preparation to meet the Lord. Because one day we all will meet him. Whether we meet him at his second coming, or we meet him in death, doesn't matter, we'll meet him. That is for sure. And surely it would be a wise thing for all to make preparation for that day. Because only those who are prepared will go in with the Lord to the marriage feast. And those who are not prepared shall be shut out. As it was in the days of Noah. When Noah and his family entered the ark, we're told the Lord shut them in. Noah and his family were shut in. The ungodly were shut out. Didn't matter what they do or how they cried or how they wept or how they pleaded, that door was not opening. So it was at the marriage supper when the door was shut. There were those who came, we're told, and cried, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But the door wasn't opened. My dear friend, tonight, without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are not prepared to meet God. Not having been washed in the blood of the Lamb, you are not ready to meet God. Amos said, "Prepare to meet thy God." How do we prepare? By accepting Jesus Christ as our Savior. Been made right with God. Paul tells us that no corruptible thing will enter into the kingdom. Only those that have been made right, righteous. And the Lord Jesus is the only one who's able to make us righteous. If we're not ready, we'll be shut out. If we're not ready to meet God, we'll be shut out. The door will shut. We'll not enter in. Like the little boy who learned the chorus at Sunday school. One door and only one, and yet the sides are two. I'm on the inside, and which side are you? And the wee boy went home and he kept reciting this or singing this at home. His father wasn't saved. And one day went up to his dad and he says, "One door and only one, and yet the sides are two. I'm on the inside, and which side are you?" And he repeated it that often to the father. The father began to question, asked the question, what's he talking about? And after a while he realized that he was outside. And as a result of the little boy reciting the words of that chorus, the father came to Christ. One door and only one, and yet the sides are two. I'm on the inside. Sinner, on which side are you? If you're not on the inside, you'll be shut out forever. I would like to tell you something else, but I have to tell you the truth. And the truth is, if you're not ready to meet God, you'll be shut out. And shut out forever. Notice their readiness. The wise virgins had prepared for the bridegroom's arrival by bringing oil with their lamps. So when the bridegroom arrived, they were ready to meet him. Verse 10, it tells us that, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they, that is the wise virgins, they that were ready, went in with him. They were ready for that hour. They didn't know the hour of his coming, but they were ready for it. And my friend, you or I do not know the hour of the Lord's coming. But I tell you this, I'm glad that I'm ready for that hour. I'm glad that I am ready whenever the Lord comes. And whether he comes with 10,000 of his angels, or whether he comes in death, I'm ready. Attended the funeral of her dear brother, W.P. Moore. Dr. Paisley's clerk of session for many years, Mr. Muir was here and preached for us. A man who prayed for us here every day. He passed away just a few days after we arrived and also was able to go to his funeral. And Dr. Paisley, who preached the word, said, without a doubt, Mr. W.P. Moore is at home with the Lord. There's not a doubt about it. Man was saved over 60 years. He was ready. Didn't know the hour of his departure, but he was ready for it. And we'll meet him one day in glory. We need to be ready. Because we don't know the hour. And when the bridegroom came, he came suddenly. And if the Lord was to come upon us with the same suddenness, how many here tonight would be ready? When we hear about sudden death of a Christian, what do we say? We say, well, at least he was ready. At least he was ready. Unlike the rich fool, he said he's going to pull down his barns and build greater. And he said, I'll say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. God said, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. This very night. He didn't know it. That's why the Lord said he was a fool. That's why he called the five virgins who had not made any preparation, called them fools. And you're told there, in that verse 10, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him. That's a nice little phrase there in the middle of that verse. They went in with him. Isn't that what heaven's about? Being with him. Being with Christ. The Apostle Paul said that for him it would be absent from the body and present with the Lord. He'll be with him. And when a soul is ready, when the Lord comes for that soul, we go to be with him. Paul said again, I am on a strait betwixt two, to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. The Lord Jesus prayed for his disciples in his high priestly prayer, John 17 and verse 24. He prayed that they might be with him. And there on the cross he said to the dying thief, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Good to know one day we'll be with him. That is, if we're ready. And you have the woes and the bridegroom's coming. The woes of the five foolish virgins. Look at verse 3. They that were foolish. Notice their slackness here. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. And that's foolish. What use is a lamp if there's no oil? They took the lamps all right, but they didn't take any oil. They had the appearance of being really ready and prepared for the bridegroom's coming until the bridegroom came, and they had no oil in their lamps. They were slack. You say, my, how foolish was that? But let me tell you something else. How foolish is it then for that man or that woman who's pressing on, travelling on towards eternity, and they've made no preparation for eternity? That's foolish. How foolish can you get when the issues are eternal? It's heaven or hell. Preparation will get you into heaven. Preparation will save your soul from hell. And yet men and women go through life and they make no preparation. That's foolish. You notice their slumbers. We're told, and while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. Didn't think there was any need to be urgent about this matter. We can take our ease. We can slumber and sleep. Sure, we don't know when he's coming. I tell you, there are people, and that's how they're living today. No urgency. The Lord may come tonight. The Lord may come tomorrow. And I'm not referring primarily to his second coming, but he may come for you tomorrow, and you'll not be ready. And then the separation. For we're told there in that verse 10, and while they went to buy, that is the foolish virgins, they went to buy oil, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Five foolish virgins were separated from the five wise. That's how it'll be. One shall be taken, and the other left. Two shall be grinding at a mill, one taken and the other left. There'll be that separation. Shut in or shut out. Five were shut in, five were shut out. I ask you, my friend, tonight, on which side of the door will you be when the Lord comes? One door and only one, yet the sides are two. I'm on the inside. On which side are you? Let's bow our heads in prayer.